Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You're listening to the Room 104 podcast with Cormac Moore.
FM 104.
Joining us now on the show, and I'm going to, you know, trigger warning, because you're going to feel as if you're not busy enough, because this person is the busiest person I think we have ever spoken to on the show. She is founder and CEO of Shona.ie. She's interim CEO of SER Ireland, social entrepreneur, CEO of the year 2019, my God, author of a book called You Got This. And I'm just flicking through here her Twitter feed, and it seems she has been shortlisted for the Humanitarian of the Year Award. Now, Trish, what have you done to make society better in the last year?
Certainly not as much as Tammy Darcy.
Tammy, you're very welcome onto the show. Welcome. How are things?
No, that's such a nice introduction. Thank you so much.
The busiest woman in Ireland. Oh, my gosh.
Always a time for you, Trish.
You know what? Tammy, I really admire you. I think you have made such a difference to so many young girls' lives out there. But the Shona Project is something that you are passionate about and something that you have been the founder of. But give people a little bit of an insight as to what the Shona Project is about.
Yeah, so the Shona Project, we're a non-profit organisation, and our mission is really to make sure that every teenage girl in Ireland has everything she needs to succeed. So we want to give her all the information, advice. We want to give them a platform to share their stories, and we want to turn schools into more positive places for young women. And it's a big job, but somebody has to do it, I guess.
Now, Tammy, are you saying that maybe the Irish secondary level school system hasn't been the best when it's come to educating women? I would say historically it hasn't been the best when it's coming to educate women on a variety of different things that affect them.
Listen, we can go as deep as you want on this, right?
We have another hour. Go on. The floor is yours.
Look, the fact of the matter is, even outside of schools, girls are given a very, very unique and very, like, small view of what society values in our women and what we expect from our women. And a lot of it is tied into, you know, appearance and achievement and perfection and all of those kind of things. Now, I definitely think that boys and girls all need support, and I think that, like, really, really strict definitions of either gender are really harmful for everybody concerned. But for me, just with girls, I think that this, like, really ridiculous societal pressure is what's causing girls to be so anxious, what's causing them to be so competitive with each other. And if we don't teach them, and young people in general, how to channel anger, frustration, sadness, stress, anxiety, all of those things in a positive way, that's when it comes out in, you know, nastiness and other, you know, not so positive behaviours. And, you know, for me, a lot of the time, it's just for somebody, for them to feel like valued, understood, heard, to see people who've been where they are and who, you know, have come through it. And also to view challenges not as an entirely negative experience, but to, you know, realize that the people that we all admire the most, you know, for the most genuine reasons, they've all been in tough situations, and it's not the situations that have defined them, it's how they react and respond to those situations in the long run. So, you know, sometimes it's just as simple as pointing that out and giving them space to talk and to share their experiences, because when you tell people how you really feel and when you tell people exactly what you're going through, it gives them permission to do the same back to you, and it deepens your relationships, your friendships, all those kinds of things. So, like, there's a huge amount, I think, especially with COVID, not to bring it back to COVID, I'm sure everything's about COVID, but
we'll have to drop you there now, Tammy. Sorry, you said the wrong word.
But it is just like the cracks have deepened and widened, and I think young people need our support now more than ever before.
Do you know what I think? Sorry, is just mad. I could not imagine what it would be like to have social media in school, because I got out just as I was going into college, just as Facebook kicked off, and Bebo and MySpace and all that stuff kicked off, right? But it wasn't everyone on their phone 24/7, and you know, people couldn't bully you when you're in your bedroom on your phone, and it just must be such a suffocating environment to be in. Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat and Facebook, that like I'd imagine a lot of people who are now in school can't escape the hell, if they're in a hell at the moment, from all that stuff, that you know, they usually could go back to your room, play the computer game and just zone out and ignore it till the next day, but now it kind of follows them. So do you think social media is amplifying it or intensifying what a lot of young women are going through?
Absolutely, and I'm not here to bash social media, because
I know, do we hate,
you know,
it.
There's too many of our generation, I'm not sure what age you are, probably a little younger than me, but there's too many of our generation that are just, you know, saying social media is just bad and stay off it, and that's not really helpful, because you know, they're not going to listen to us anyway. Like, for me, young people exist in two worlds now. They exist online and in person. And both of those worlds need to be kind of curated in a positive way. So, you know, social media is like, you know, like putting yourself into a room full of people. Those can be people who inspire you, empower you. You know, like, when you think about it, a lot of young people don't have positive role models at home. Whereas if they curate their social media accounts with people like Michelle Obama, or, you know, like people who inspire them, you know, if you get up and you have an exam or you're feeling a bit self-conscious, you can have access to these amazing role models 24/7 in lots of ways. So with social media, it's two things. It's what they're consuming and it's the habits around how they consume it. So if you think about it, your brain needs time out during the day to process the things that happened. And if you don't have that time out, you're just being put more and more information on top of previous information and you're not processing it at all. So you know, I think it's about curating your account so they're more positive, which everybody should do, and just giving yourself a break from it when you can. We use social media a huge amount, you know, to try and make people's feeds a little bit more positive and spread positive messaging and all of that. So, look, it's not going anywhere, let's be honest, but it can be used in a more positive way and in a more healthy way, I think.
Yep, absolutely. And I love the work you do on social media as well. You manage to get some of the biggest names out there, females that are just doing great things in society. Was it last year?
No, it was this year. It was in March. Are you talking about Shine Festival?
Yes. So Shine Festival, you run workshops, and Shine Festival is one of the big things that took place this year, and over 1 million people tuned in. It was Shine Festival online.
Yeah, it was. You hosted one of our first Shine Festivals.
Come on, Trish.
Yeah.
You definitely did. You've been part of the Shine family, and we hope you're not going anywhere. But yeah, it's gotten bigger and bigger. So in 2018, we had 350 girls. 2019, we had 1,000, and that was featured on a TV show. 2020 was cancelled. We had 4 scheduled events, and they were cancelled. So we said, let's do it online, and we had over 40,000 school girls in schools watch the 3 days. We had over 1 million video loads in 3 days, and we had over, I think it was in around 100 speakers at that, talking about like everything from, you know, mental health, wellness, mindset, sports, business, career, like literally everything that you can think of. And next year we're going even bigger.
Oh, the Three Arena.
Crow Park. Fingers knock Garth Brooks out of one of his nights and go, listen, give us those. We've
I
had enough.
I just texted him. I told him we're taking one of his nights. He's cool with it. It's a good cause.
For any, let's say, young female students who might be listening at the moment, like, what one piece of advice would you like them to know or to realise or to, you know, just understand?
Well, like, there's the obvious ones about being kind and believing in yourself and all of that stuff that, you know, we do bang on about. But for me, one of the things that I think young people don't do enough is to consider who's in their circle and how they influence them. So the people that you surround yourselves with at this age, they really influence the woman that you're going to become. And to keep those standards and those values high as you possibly can, because those people will bring out the best in you. They'll challenge you. They'll believe in you. They'll really, really shape who you grow into. And you're better off having one person in that circle or pulling it back to one or two people than trying to fit more into it if those people are not meeting that standard and those values. Mm-hmm. And that, again, includes your friends, you know, people that you look up to, your mentors, and also the people that you follow online. So just to be really conscious of that. And I think that will have a massive, massive effect on how you feel about yourself.
And if you've walked away from this thinking, okay, I need maybe a compact go-to, like almost like a guide for young women. You have got this.
I see what you did there, Trish. Plug, I like it.
Oh, I love you so much for that. Yeah, so last year, like I'd written over 2,000 posts for our website, which is Seanad.ie, over the years, and I've also met like nearly 20,000 girls in schools all over Ireland, and they share things with me, you know, and we also have this ambassador group, and I was given an opportunity last year to put it all into a book, and I was really, really so honoured to be given a chance at something I'd wanted to do my whole life, and just basically put everything that I knew into that. And it's done really well. It's gotten really good feedback. And yeah, I'm really proud of it, actually.
I think that's available online in most good bookshops and stuff around the place. I know the website is Seanad.ie if you're listening, you'd like to check it out, a little bit more information. But a last question before we let you go. Mm-hmm. What advice would you have for everyone else, like myself and Trish and anyone else listening, to get as much work done as you do, clearly, on a weekly basis? Like, how do you keep yourself going?
Oh, I have such control issues and OCD issues, and I'm so scheduled. I have an amazing team at the Seanad Project, and they're mostly volunteers. You know, it's not just mine anymore. It's become so much more than us. And so many people believe in what we're doing and get behind it. People like Trish, people like, you know, other people who volunteer their time in loads of different ways. So, you know, I think if you're doing something that's important, people will support you and make way for you to do it and join you on the journey if it's something that's really, really that important and making such a difference.
Okay.
Tommy, okay. Every time you speak, I can't.
Yeah, you're going to have to get now. We'll both have to get working now, Trish, and sort our lives out. But listen, it's been a pleasure talking to you, Tammy. If you are listening and want more information, it's Seanad.ie. It's probably the best place to go. And at Seanad, as in D-O-T-I-E, on Twitter as well. But it's been a pleasure. Keep up the good work. We'll chat
thanks
you again
so
soon, Tammy.
Thanks so much, guys.
And good luck with the awards.
Oh, yeah. Very best of luck with the old humanitarian awards, yeah?
Chat to you soon. Bye.
Take it easy. Bye.
Oh, you've got to say. That's what we need. We need positivity, uplifting in our lives right now. And I feel like even the dark days are coming in and you kind of wake up some mornings and go, why am I here?
You've got this, or don't cock it up. And a whole book on advice of that as well. It's like, listen, don't do it. Listen, on the way next, you might have seen that it is now illegal in Portugal for your boss to contact you after working hours.
That's us giving a round of applause to that one.
So listen, we'll have a little bit more of a chat about this after the break, but is there anything else in your job that you feel should be illegal? Right, contacting you out of hours, text at 11 o'clock at night, or a Saturday morning going, sorry, can you get back to me? And you're like, oh, I have another one. I'm just going to write that down and say it in a second. Hang on, because this happened to me twice and I've got
a few for you as well.
Oh, God, yeah. Listen, so it's illegal, but you cannot text your employees as an employer in Portugal after working hours. But what else would you love, or what else do you think in your job should be made illegal? Let us know. 087 6797104.